Northside Baptist Church podcast for Sunday morning, July 17th. Dr. Mike Wells preaches a message entitled, Fiery Solutions.
Acts chapter 28, verse 2 again. The Bible talks here about the barbarous people. The Bible says when the barbarous people showed, it says, us no little kindness. That means they showed a great amount of kindness. For they kindled a fire and received us everyone because of the present rain and because of the cold. The Bible says in verse 3, and when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper, the Bible says, out of the heat and fastened to his hand. I want to speak this morning on fiery solutions. Fiery solutions. Here we'll see that there's a fire, and that fire is to comfort them that needed comfort. We see that there's a fire, and that fire will change their condition. They're getting ready to gather around the fire. The Bible says it was a rainy night. The Bible says it was a cold night. The Bible teaches, no doubt, that they were wet because they had come in out of the water. They'd floated in on broken pieces. But yet the Bible also teaches that there was those that had built a fire. And so as they have gathered around the fire changes their coldness to a warmth. It changes their wetness to a dry. And always does God have a fire, a solution for you, no matter what you're facing in your life, whether it's the darkest hour or a cold and clammy night, whether it's a time when you're just drenched from the outside in, God just has a way of warming you up and drying you out. You'll see that the fire here also is guarding them from the elements that's surrounding them. But I want us to notice some things about this fire as we speak of it this morning. Notice Acts chapter 28 and verse 2, the Bible says, and the barbarians here, these barbarous people, the Bible says, show no little kindness. And so I want us to understand, statement number one, the fire, or the answer, if you will, was already there. It was already built. And so here it was not going out and trying to find something new, but it was something that was already erected. It was something that was already in existence. And by the way, listen to me this morning. Sometimes God will use people that you don't expect to be able to help you through a hard time. Sometimes God will bring somebody in your life. Sometimes he'll bring somebody in your life just for a season, if you will. Sometimes he'll bring them in your life for a reason. And sometimes he'll bring them in your life for a lifetime. But often God brings people in your life to be able to help you. And they want to help you to be able to make it to the other side in that distressful time in your life. The Bible says in Acts chapter 28 and verse 2 that these barbarous people, the Bible says, they showed no little kindness, for they kindled a fire and received us, now watch this, everyone. And so here's what they're doing. That fire is for everyone that's there. It's not excluding anybody. And by the way, that fire is talking about a solution. You know, in every single problem you have, the solution is already there. Sometimes you have to dig a little bit deeper for it, and sometimes you have to search a little bit wider for it, and sometimes you have to be able to look just a little bit harder for it. But most of the time, when you have a problem in your life, God is always going to be there to show you the way out. That's why he said that according to the Bible in the book of 1 Corinthians, he said that with every temptation, he also makes a way to escape. Now, what is that? Well, doesn't the Bible also teach where sin doth abound, grace doth much more abound? Doesn't the Bible teach us that where there is a problem, there's a greater solution? Do we not serve a God that is still able to answer prayer bigger than the problem? Do we not also still serve a God today that's alive and well, and there's not any problem that's ever going to overtake him? There's not any problem that's ever going to catch him by surprise. There's not any problem that is ever going to send him in a shock trauma mode. There's not any problem that is ever going to be able to be one that he himself cannot answer. Now here's what we see. The Bible talks about these people that were there, and so they were already there. The answer was already there. And the Bible says showed no little kindness. That means that there was ample supply greater than the problem. The Bible says, received every one, it says, of us. And so God's answer for problems is not something that is only for a select group of people. When you have a problem, God can answer and God can help you with your problem, just like he answered and helped somebody else with their problem. God is not going to say, I'm going to help you, but I'm not going to help you. And I'm going to love you, but I'm not going to love you. And I'm going to stand beside you, but I'm not going to stand beside you. No, that is not God. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. You're important to God, and God wants to be able to work in your life, and God wants to be able to help you, and God wants to be able to guide you. And you have to understand that in every problem that you face in your life, you have a God that has the solution to that problem. The Bible says that he received everyone because it says of the present rain, because of the cold. May I say tonight, or this morning rather, that night they were all facing the same night. At that night, they were facing the same rain. At that night, they were all facing the same coldness, but yet God was going to raise somebody up to be able to help them, somebody up to be able to encourage them, somebody up to be able to stand beside them. And by it wasn't somebody they expected. It wasn't somebody that was a saint of God. It wasn't somebody that had all the answers. It was just somebody that was there doing something that was kind to be able to help somebody make it through their distressful time. Now watch this. And so the fire, or the answer, if you was already built. Statement number two, this answer, this fire had to be fed. Look at it. Acts chapter 28, verse 3, the Bible says, and Paul gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire. Now the solution was already there. But sometimes you have to be able to help the solution. You know, a prayer is not going to be answered unless you pray it. Somebody is not going to be able to help you unless you're open to it. Somebody is not going to be able to encourage you unless you receive the encouragement. Somebody's not going to be able to stand beside you if you're running the opposite direction. It's not going to happen. See, the Bible says that here this fire was already, ablaze, but yet Paul, wanting to keep it ablaze, Paul wanting to keep the fire going, what did he do? Well, just like any good Samaritan, Paul went over and he grabbed a bundle of sticks. And let me say something now this morning. If you've got a teenager that's on fire for God, you ought not to pour water on the teenager, but you ought to add some necessities in the life to keep the fire burning. There's enough discouragement and negativism out there about serving God without a parent stepping up and adding to the complexity of it. Here's what you see. You see here that there's a fire, but that fire needed to be added to. Come on. When your teenager comes home, when your young person comes home, when your wife comes home, when your father comes home, when your friend comes home, and they say, God's been good and God answered prayer. Hey, don't just look at that and say, big deal. Get a smile on your face. Be happy about it. At least they're praying. You decide that you're going to be a person that will help somebody and feed the fire. Feed the solution. Stop looking at the problem. You can stare at the problem so much that the problem becomes overwhelming. Or you can go to God, find a solution, feed the solution, and let the solution take care of the problem. Statement number one, I said this, the fire, the answer was always there. It was already built. Statement number two, this fire has to be fed. Statement number three, think about this. The fire revealed other challenges. You know, have you ever done this? Have you ever, as a man, started to tear out a rotten wall? I mean, it looked kind of bad on the outside, but when you really started to tear it out, it was really bad. Have you ever started to counsel somebody and, you know, it just seemed like that, you know, it wasn't a big problem. You know, you could just give them some Bible principles and you could teach them a couple of Bible truths and they'll walk away and they're going to be excited about it. They're going to embrace the truth and obey God and everything's going to be hunky-dory-dory in Jesus. But then as you continue to counsel them, you come to find out It's a little bit deeper than what you thought it was. Have you ever tried to be a friend to somebody and they came to you and they cried on your shoulder? And all of a sudden, you find out that they needed more of your shoulder to cry on than what you were really thinking about lending them. Well, that's what's taking place here. If you'll notice here, watching your Bible, the Bible says here in the book of Acts, chapter 28 and verse 3. The Bible says when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened to his hand. You know, if Paul never would have decided to do good, he never would have been bitten by the viper. If Paul would have just stood by casually and just served me, come on, served me, come on, just serve me. I'm going to sit here and I'm going to take it all in. You just serve me. Then he never would have been bit by the viper. But yet the Bible teaches here that he's the one that rose up, being that good Samaritan, he goes over. Have you ever helped somebody and it turned on you? Have you ever tried to befriend somebody and all of a sudden they stabbed you in the back? Have you ever tried to really be a friend to somebody and you gave and you gave and you gave and you gave and you thought because you gave, you gave, you gave, you gave, you thought that they would give, give, and give back, but never one time have they ever given back? You see, here's what Paul is not gathering the bundle of sticks for self-profit, but rather Paul is gathering the bundle of sticks because he sees a need. I'm not supposed to go over and do something that is going to be profitable to me. But I really think that Paul is seeing, boy, it is cold out here and it is rainy out here and it is a dark night out here. And so and these men are cold and these people over here, these barbarous type of people, they've done their part. And I'll tell you what, it was a good thing they did. So I'm simply going to step in and help. There's nothing wrong with, you know what happened this past week, and some of you were involved in it. You signed up on those sheets out there outside the bookstore, and you volunteered your time, and some people were up here till 1 o'clock in the morning, 2 o'clock, 3, 4, 5 o'clock, and others came up, and they didn't put in the time of that, but they also put in just as many hours coming up on their time off and putting hours in here and hours in here. And you know what it was? It was a team effort. And that's what a church, that's what a family ought to be like. See, here's what the Bible teaches here. The Bible says that when Paul gathered the bundle of sticks, there's nothing wrong with that. And by the way, as he gathered the bundle of sticks, you notice there was no attack. See, if you gather the bundle and you keep them to yourself, nobody knows. If you keep your talents and your abilities to yourself, then it doesn't infect or influence anybody else. But when you start to use your talents for God, you start to be able to step up and use what God has. And I think so many times we have Christians that are sitting around and they're not investing their life and they're not giving to their potential. But yet God cannot use you to help somebody else as long as you're isolated to yourself. We have to break through from that isolation. You say, well, I'm kind of shy. Aren't we all? But you know, I just can't do everything that everybody else does. Well, who's asking you to? But everybody could shake a hand. Everybody could smile. Everybody could participate in the singing. Everybody could be friendly. Everybody could step up and pick up a piece of paper. Everybody could do something. See, you don't have to have a lot of abilities to serve God. You just have to have a lot of availability to serve God. See, notice this. Here's what your Bible says. The Bible says that he gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire. Oh, now he's becoming a part of the solution. Not until he laid them on the fire did he become a part of the solution. And the more that you get involved in other people's lives, the more that you become a part of the solution, the more you open. Look, you cannot be somebody that greatly helps somebody unless you're willing to open yourself up to be greatly hurt by somebody. Because the more that you help somebody, the more apt or the more availability it is for somebody to hurt you. You know, those that love deeply are those that also can be hurt deeply. And the more deeply you love, the more deeply you can be hurt. Now, so we can look at it one of two ways. I'm not going to love deeply because I don't want a chance on being hurt deeply. But that's not what our Lord would do. Our Lord would step up and say, look, I'm just going to love because it's the right thing to do. I'm just going to help and invest because it's the right thing to do. And it doesn't matter if somebody steps on me, and it doesn't matter if somebody doesn't understand me. I'm not in it for me anyway. I'm in it for them. I'm in it for him. Now watch what takes place. Here's what the Bible says. The Bible says there came a viper out of the heat and fastened to his hand. He didn't expect it, but it happened. Just because he was a part of the solution, now there's more challenges in his life than he ever had at any other time in his life. Because he takes a challenge on, a project of trying to help somebody else, what takes place is that person brings, now don't get me wrong, and don't get mad at me, but that person that they're trying to help brings all their baggage with them. And as they bring all their baggage with them, watch me now, then the right thing to do is not to stare at the problem. Here's what Paul could have did. Raining outside, dark outside, a cold freezing night outside. Paul could have looked at the elements of the outside and said, I think I'm just going to stand here and freeze for Jesus. He could have stood, he could have got with his friends and had said, hey, let's do this. Let's talk about how bad it is. You cold? I'm cold. You cold? I'm cold. You wet? I'm wet. You wet? I'm wet. Are you soaked all the way through? Oh, I'm soaked all the way. Are you? I am. He could have just stood there and talked about it. But you don't see that. Here's what Paul does. Paul looks around and says, there's got to be a solution. There's got to be a way I can help. I'm not going to try and talk my way out of it. I'm not going to try and think my way out of it. I'm going to look for a solution that is a viable solution to the problem. And here's what he found. A bundle of sticks as he gathered them together. He goes over. He tries to help. And as he tries to help, the viper comes up and grabs a hold of his hand. Now, he didn't ask for that. But yet, that's exactly what takes place. What did he do? You don't see him jumping around with a viper. You don't see him jumping up and down with a viper saying, oh, help me, help me. You don't see that. You don't see him staring at the viper, and you don't see him even crying out to God. Just a natural response. What was it? Shake the problem off in the solution. The same solution that's good for one thing in your life, I submit to you this morning, is the same type of solution that's good for other problems in your life. We don't serve a strange God. We serve a God that answered prayer yesterday, today, and will answer him tomorrow. You don't have to worry about God coming through. God will still come through. He is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. I'm telling you that God can help you. What do you do when you try to come over a problem? Here's what you do. You don't stare at the problem. You stare at the solution and the person that can help you with the solution, who is God. Oh, watch what happens here. You see, the fire or the answer had already been built in. Statement number two, you see, the fire had to be fed. Somebody has to feed it. If you want the solution to continue to work, okay, child rearing. If you want the solution of child rearing a godly, spiritual young person, then you've got to take the elements that it takes to produce a godly, spiritual young person. And you're not going to get that, don't get mad at me, but you're not going to get that just by coming Sunday morning. You're not going to get that just by allowing God to speak to you a little bit here and a little bit there. You've got to be, look, he didn't grab the bundle of sticks and say, boy, that's good. No, he was involved in taking what God gave him and putting it to use. He was putting it into action. So what takes place is he gathers the bundle of sticks. He goes over to the fire. And by the way, solutions sometimes are hot. Did you ever notice that? The solution to Brother Salem and Brother, I don't know, who's some of the other guys? Brother Nosa, I guess. Others that work on computers that's in this room, no doubt. You know, sometimes you have to read a manual. Who wants to read a manual about this button controls that button to be able to switch this button off to turn that on? But sometimes there is the solution, and the solution causes you to sweat. Sometimes child rearing. You know, it's not always easy to raise a godly spiritual child in a wicked, evil world. It's not easy. Being a godly friend, it's not always easy. Just not always easy. But what do? You get close to the solution, and sometimes the solution will make you sweat. Sometimes there's work involved in the solution. But the end result is that not only are you helped, but you are helping a multitude of people that needs that solution in their life. There are those that are still standing by the wayside. They're not doing one thing to help. They're not lifting one finger to help. But because here was a man that said, I see the need in my own life. And because there's a man that says, I see the need in other people's life. And because there's a man that says, I'm going to rise up and I'm going to do something about it. Everybody was warm. Everybody was helped. Oh, watch this. Here's what the Bible says. The Bible says in Acts chapter 28 and verse 3 again. When he gathered the bundle of sticks and he laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heap and fastened to his hand. Isn't it something? The very hand that you use to be able to feed the dog was the one that got bit. Isn't that something? The very hand that he used to be able to supply the need, to be able to help, is what the devil went after. You know, God watches you and God pays close attention. And here's what happens when the person that gets the football of God, the will of God in that pigskin, and he's running down that field trying to make yardage for God. It's the devil that wants to stop the run. He's not going to tackle anybody on the bleachers. He's already got them sitting still. But he's going to go after the one that's making some yardage. He's going to go after the godly parents. I'm not talking about the nominal parent. I mean, the nominal parent has children. Sometimes it's already swayed in the wrong direction. But he goes after the godly parent that's trying. The godly parent that says, I want a spiritual child. I want a godly child. I want somebody to turn out for God. That's the one he goes after. Now watch this, if you will. Here's what the Bible says. The Bible says here that he was there. He was picking up that which was the bundle. He's throwing it over there into the fire. Look at chapter 28, look at verse 4. The Bible says, when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves. Now, by the way, these people don't know God. They have no idea what's going on. And most of the time, the people that pass the greater degree of judgment are the ones that are less informed. Most of the time, the one that is the most opinionated is the one that has the least amount of facts. Now watch what takes place. The Bible says in Acts chapter 28 in verse 4, the Bible says, when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, no doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he has escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth him not to live. So all of a sudden they see here's a man that does something kind that's trying to help them out, by the way, that's only trying to help them out. And all of a sudden the venomous beast rises up and grabs him on the arm. And what do? Immediately they pass a judgment. Have you ever done that? Have you ever seen or heard about a friend that had a flat tire and then had another one? And all of a sudden, in your righteous, persuasional thinking, you said, God must be judging them. Hello? Here's the barbarous people, the barbarians. And boy, they're standing over here and they see Paul over there. And Paul is doing his best. He's just trying to help. He's just trying to help. He grabs the bundle of wood and he throws it in the fire and the venomous beast comes up. He didn't ask for that. He didn't ask for somebody to try to discourage him. He didn't ask for somebody to attack him. But here comes the venomous beast, and the venomous beast comes up, grabs a hold of the flesh, and all he's trying to do is help. And the venomous beast grabs a hold of his flesh. What's he do? He didn't bellyache. You don't see one place in the scriptures where Paul looks at the venomous beast and says, oh no, what do I do? It was an immediate reaction. You know why? Because I believe that Paul was used to dealing with attacks. Paul was used to things coming up in his life. He didn't get bitter at God. He didn't get mad at God. He didn't turn God off. It was a natural reaction. He just shook it off. Well, preacher, what do I do when somebody talks bad about me? Shake it off. What do I do when somebody starts a malicious rumor about me? You just shake it off. Well, what do I do when somebody's crying and somebody's whimpering? And, oh, what do I do when my children are just not turning out right? Look, there has to be, we're not talking about your prayer life. We're not talking about the depth of the Bible knowledge that you possess. We're not talking about the amount of degrees that hang behind your name. We're not talking about your relationship with your wife or your husband or your child. We're talking about when all of a sudden the onslaughts of the devil come against you and many people get knocked out of the saddle because they get their feelings hurt. Many people get knocked out of the saddle simply because things did not go their way. When all we ought to do is just realize if you ever do anything good, if you ever do anything spiritual, you just might be attacked. Dale Moody was visiting London, England. When Dale Moody was visiting London, England, he decided that he was going to visit a particular church. The man got up that night at the particular church, did not know that Moody was a part of the congregation, but he got up that night and he preached. It was an evening service. Nobody, not one, came to the altar. Moody sat there and shook his head. He said, how cold, indecent, how hard these people must be. The man found out that D.L. Moody, the famous American evangelist, was in the congregation. At the end of the congregation, singing as they sang, they said, Mr. Moody is here. And so he had Mr. Moody to come up, and he shook his hand, held him on the platform, put his arm around him, and said, how many of you would be willing to come back tomorrow night and hear Mr. Moody preach? Just a spur thing. Well, people raised their hand. They came, had a moderate crowd. He preached and nobody came to the altar. There's a little old lady sitting in the back of the church, and she'd been praying that revival would come to the London, England area for many, many years, and nothing was happening in that part of the place. And so she was praying, and Moody showed up, and she heard how God had used Moody all through America. And so she gathered two other ladies together, and they began to pray. Before you know it, the crowd began to grow, and the revival went, they say, for 14 days. By the time the end of the 14th day, there were so many people gathering to hear Dr. Moody or Brother Moody preach that they couldn't fit into the auditorium. And by the way, it wasn't because of Moody. It was because of two people that just decided they wanted to see God do something. And this other lady was involved, so three of them gathered together and they started to pray earnestly. Now, what am I saying? I'm saying this. I'm saying that fire, you know, what happens when you start to be a part of the solution, things begin to challenge you. Watch this statement number next. Think about this. Look at Acts chapter 28 and verse 4. I'm almost done. It says the barbarians talking about the venomous beast that hangs on his hand. And here's what happens. They look at him and say, no doubt he is a murderer. May I say, listen to this. The more fiery, the more visible the solution is, the more criticism it brings. So the higher you rise and the broader you are in helping people, the more people will rise to criticize you. Statement number next, and I'm done. Look at chapter 28. Look at verse 5. The Bible says he shook it off into the fire, but it doesn't stop there, because you understand that the fire, the solution, can also destroy the problem the same way that the problem came from other directions. Let me give you just one more statement. The fire, the solution, brought blessing to many others that's involved. Watch this in your Bible, and I'm done. This is the last reading of the scriptures, but watch what it says. The Bible says in Acts chapter 28 and verse 6, howbeit they looked, when he should have swollen and fallen down dead suddenly, that after they looked a great while, they saw no harm come to him. They changed their minds and said he was a god. So here's the people standing over here, and they're looking at him, and they begin to murmur, they begin to talk, they begin to chat. Oh, look, he's got a venomous beast that's hanging on his hand. He's, you know, even though he made it out of the sea, God is judging him. He's probably a murderer. And so what's going to happen is he's going to drop dead. They watch him for a while. And by the way, here's what happens. People watch you. They don't just glance at you. They watch you at the workplace, and they see if you pray before you eat. They see if you lose your temper and say some words that's not Christian or becoming of Christ. They watch you for a while, and they see, well, I wonder if he's going to go to church, because after all, he said he wasn't feeling good. And I wonder, and they'll even inquire you. They'll inquire of you. They'll say, how was church last night? Well, I didn't go. You know, and they begin to ask you questions, and they watch and they stare at you, because they want to see if your Christ is as real to you as you pretend him to be. Now watch what takes place, and I'm done. Just four more verses. Acts chapter 28, verse 7. The Bible says in the same quarter, it says we're those that was possessed. And of course, watch what it says. Look at verse 7. In the same quarter were possessions of the chief man of the island named Publius. And watch what the Bible says here, who received us and lodged us for 3 days. So they're there for 3 days. The Bible says, and it came Publius. And the Bible says that it came to pass that the father, it says of Publius, lay sick, it says of a fever, a bloody flux, and whom Paul entered in and prayed, laid hands on, and healed him. Look at verse 9. The Bible says, so when this was done, others also, says, with diseases of the island came and were healed. Look at verse 10. The Bible says, and also honored us with many honors, and we departed laden with such things as were of necessity, or as were necessity. Watch in verse 11. The Bible says, and after 3 months, we departed into the ship of Alexandria. So they're there for 3 months, and God changes all those lives in just 3 months. I wonder what would happen if we started looking for the solution. Wonder what would happen. Let me just show you something. Let's have, would you come? Watch this, if you will. You just stand right here. Just want to show you just a simple illustration, and then we're done. I'll tell you what, Brother and Mrs. Zapata Sr., would you come, please? And so this is like his grandparents. And so they come up, and this is the grandparents now. And so they're standing around him, and they're trying to guide him, and they're trying to help him, and they're trying to show him exactly what to do. They're standing around. And he has a youth director, and so youth coordinator, would you stand up? And so he's standing on one side of him, trying to help him. And he has a music director, and he's standing around him too, around him. And so he has a music director. And so he decides he's going to come to the Bible college here. And so he has a Bible college professor. And so he's in the middle now, and you all are circled around him. And watch, okay? And so I see what's taking place. I see that here's a young man that just needs some solutions in his life. Now, here's what he can do. He can look outside to ungodly influences and try and find a solution. Or he could do this. He could surround himself with godly solutions. And inside the godly solutions, those godly solutions will guide him the right way. Now, wait a minute. I'm seeing that things are happening. I'm seeing that his fire is becoming a flame. I'm seeing that he's getting solutions in his life, solutions in his life. So he's on top side. Why in the world would I ever want to pull him out of such a place like that? Why would I want to put him in a place where there is no solutions? Why would I want to take and pull him out of a situation where it seems like that he's getting more of the fire of God? He's surrounded by warmth. He's surrounded by love. He's surrounded by help. No, I ought to be the one that says, hey, I want a part of that. Is there any sticks I can throw on the fire? Is there anything that I can heap in there too? Is there anything that I could take and gather up so that I could put in there to help him to become everything that he ought to be? I mean, after all, I want to be able, if he turns out to do something for God, I want to say, I was there too. If he turned out to do something for God, I want to say that, hey, I remember the day that I patted him on the back, and I remember the day that I encouraged him, and I remember the day that I had to scold him a little bit, and I remember the day that he walked down the hallway, and I tried to help him, and he didn't take it, and so I helped him again, and he didn't take it, but I helped him again, and finally the light bulb came on, and he decided I'm going to receive some of that help, and instead of being somebody that is staring at the problem, I don't think he'll ever make it. He's got so many problems. I mean, you just look at the kid. He's got so many problems. He's the son of his father. He's got so many problems. And so I just don't think he'll ever make it. And so since I don't think he'll ever make it, I'm not going to waste my time. I'm just not going to do it. I've got a son. Pretend he's my son. He's rebellious. I just don't think, I mean, I've tried, I prayed, I tried, I prayed, I tried, I prayed, and I just don't think he's going to make it. And since I think he's just not going to make it, I'm going to stop trying. That's not what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to look for anything that could help in the process of him getting victory. Oh, it doesn't look like that stick over there is going to burn. It doesn't look like that could be used in his life. But hey, if God put it there to be able to place it in his life, then you pick it up and you put it in his life. Why? Because that'll help him to keep on fire and getting victory over the problems in his life. So what do I do? Okay, I decide I want a part of it. So I come over and you know, sometimes, I'm telling you how parents are. Sometimes parents have this about them. And they don't want anybody to help them with their child because after all, I have all the answers. But everybody needs help. I would rather, listen to me, I would rather 10 sets of eyes be on my child than just two. I would rather people be involved in helping my child than just me only. Now, I want to be a part of it. And as pastor, I definitely want to be a part of it. And so what do I do? I don't say, well, I hope you make it. You got Dr. Allen to look up to. Wow. Hope you make it. You got a brother Allen, and you've got a brother Wislowski, and you've got a dear, dedicated couple that's been here for years serving God. And if you can't see godliness in them, you're blind. Hey, hope you make it. Or I could say, I just won't be a part of it. I think I'm going to come over here and, hey, you're doing a good job. Hey, whoo, keep it up. Hey, you just taking, keep serving God. Come on. The more people that are godly that you surround your child with, the more people that are godly, listen to me, that you surround yourself with, the better off you'll be. He could have said, well, hey, those barbarous people, they were building the fire before. Let them go ahead and build it. They did it on their own. He said, no, the solution is working. I see how it's working. And they don't even understand the principles of God, but it's working. Therefore, I'm going to go and I'm going to help and I'm going to walk over and I'm going to throw some stakes in there. I'm going to throw some bush in there and I'm going to throw some branches in there and I'm going to take and help. Wouldn't it be good though if that island had a bunch of Christians on it instead? But the good thing about it, watch this if you will, the good thing about it is what took place is within 3 months, because just somebody picked up some branches, because somebody just decided they were going to shake the viper off. Within 3 months, that entire island had heard about God. Many decisions were made. Just because somebody said, hey, I'm just going to do my simple little part. Stare at the solution. Get involved in a solution. Don't just stare at the problem. You'll be surprised what God will do through you.
Thank you for listening to the Parkside Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church, you can visit us online at pbcmesquite.org. Or if you're ever in the Dallas, Texas area, we'd love to have you come visit our church.